I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to another episode of It's All About Food. Here we are. It's the 17th of February. Why did I want to say September? Because I wish it was some other month other than the winter that we're going through here. It's cold outside, but I don't need to talk about the weather. Everybody's talking about the weather. Let's move on and let's talk about my favorite subject, food. I'm going to bring on one of my favorite people, one of probably my favorite guests that I've had before on this program, and he's agreed to come back again and speak to us today. Gary DeMattei, he's an actor, acting teacher, theater and film director, producer, writer, chef, an all-around great guy that you'd want to invite to your next party. He's also my partner in both business and life. Hi, Gary. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi, Karen. Thanks.
There you are.
You read the introduction I wrote for you just perfectly. Happy Fat Tuesday to all people who know what that's all about. A perfect day to try to go vegan for 40 days and 40 nights.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up. It's Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras, as
right.
The French or the Creole French or the Louisiana Frenchish people will call Mardi Gras.
Yeah, what a great time to give up eating the animal and realize you really don't have to sacrifice anything. You actually gain so much more.
I agree.
I'm really excited to talk to you.
Yeah, so I frequently say I'm not a religious person, but I love to follow the holidays, and I love to use them as an excuse to talk about food.
Right.
And so all of those folks who are venturing into the Lent period that starts tomorrow, definitely,
right.
Giving up the animal is the thing to do.
I think so. I think that's great. I mean, how religious can one get to not eat anything that's been tortured and then killed? I mean, let's start there.
Amen to that.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. Okay,
amen.
So, amen. Amen.
This is really sort of a revival show, isn't it?
That's right. I'm giving a little taste of the Swinging Gourmets here.
Ah, the Swinging Gourmets. What a great group they are. Those guys are nutty.
Blackie. I love the Swinging Gourmets.
I do, too. I wish they would perform more all over the world.
Yes, well, people just have to invite them to
yeah.
do that. And they can do that by going to swinginggourmets.com.
Theswinginggourmets.com. Hey, at least the treat yourself to that trailer. That trailer's hysterical.
Yes.
I love those guys.
And it is all about food.
Yes, it is. So.
It is all about food. Okay, now one of the new things that we've got going on here at Responsible Eating and Living, and our theme this year is Work Harder. And we have a new web series. I've mentioned it a few times on this program. We've put up two episodes, or webisodes. We're working on a third. And it features a newscast and a feature on a local business who promotes some of the things we're in line with here at Responsible Eating and Living, organic food, healthy plant food. And then
organic.
We have organic. And then we have...
Oh, that's so sad. Anyway, go ahead.
Then we have a food show called The Transition Kitchen. And Mr. Gary DeMattei here is the host of Transition Kitchen. Gary, can you tell us what is The Transition Kitchen?
Well, I guess it's everything you wanted to know about transitioning off the animal, but were afraid to ask.
Mm.
And it comes direct from the lips of one who knows me, yours truly. I lost about 100 pounds when I got off the animal. I mean, it didn't happen all at once, but I've lost a lot of weight and gained a lot of insight into a lot of things that I had no idea were going on. Well, I guess I had an idea they were going on, but I couldn't handle the truth. You know that famous line in some movie with Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. And basically, I think that's why a lot of us don't get off the animal sooner, is because the truth is really frightening. But
okay.
Once you face the truth,
yeah.
You know.
You're free. The truth sets you free.
And that's what we're all about here at Responsible Eating and Living. It's about the truth. And so anyway, that's kind of, in a nutshell, what Transition Kitchen is all about.
Well, I'm always surprised when I hear you say you've lost 100 pounds. I've heard the story many, many times, but it's always unbelievable because you look so good now.
Well, thank you, Karen. I carried my weight well. I carried it all over me. Mostly in my big head, but...
And so many people want to lose weight, and I know a lot of my listeners have written from time to time how they're struggling. And you did it, and
Amen.
You gave up all kinds of, well, smoking and drinking and bad food. And
yes, and and we talk all about that in the Swinging Gourmets, where we talk about how I went on that journey, and then we talk about your journey with ovarian cancer and how you and I met. And it's really a great show. I'm plugging Swinging Gourmets again. But that's not why I'm on your show.
No, not today. We're here to talk about the Transition Kitchen. So, Gary, the Transition Kitchen, it's not a series where you talk about remodeling people's kitchens.
Good question. Well, sort of. I mean, we don't remodel it like my brother, Mark DiMattei, the successful contractor in Northern California of DiMattei Construction.
Plug.
Not like Mark would remodel your kitchen. But we do some, I guess, demolition. We do some demoing. Our objective, we hope, is to demolish some myths out there about folks needing the animal to make great tasting meals, great tasting food and beverage. But we're sort of elusive about it. We don't preach. We do it circuitously, I guess. Our objective is to help you get off the animal, but to do it in an upbeat, kind of laid-back way, as well as get you off of some of the processed foods, which some of them are vegan, because you and I both know there's a lot of processed food out there that doesn't contain any animal products, but it's really not the best thing for you, so we try
That's
to help
true.
There.
I have a list of priorities. Number one priority for me is to do whatever I can in my own small little way to reduce pain and suffering, and that means pain and suffering for all life on Earth, primarily animals who have no voice. So
right.
if there's a way to get people off the animal, I'm all for it. Now, some of it means eating food that isn't spectacularly healthy, although I think for the most part, even eating the meat substitutes that are made from plants are, I think, can be healthier, maybe not. I mean, it's a mix. You take one evil and you get another. But they're healthier in terms of the planet, because making plant foods is gentler on the planet than growing plants to feed animals to feed people. So priority number one is minimizing animal suffering.
Yes, that's the priority there.
But then, you know, I have a passion for health. I always have, and I feel like my romp, I like to call it a romp, my romp with advanced
right.
ovarian cancer with a 10 to 20% survival rate. Can we underline that? I'm still here.
Yes.
8 years later.
Yeah.
And,
that's one of the songs that the Swinging Gourmets do.
It was kind of like a fast track into extreme extra knowledge about health and nutrition that back 8 years ago when I had to save my life. And I love sharing that information, how to boost your immune system, how to recover from some health treatments and from disease deliciously. Fun.
The thing that you could go on and on and on about is what the myths involved with folks who are going through what you went through, cancer and chemo and surgeries, and how there's so little being told to them about boosting their immune system. And, you know, for example, getting off of sugar. I mean, we could go on forever about that. We could do show after show about how so many people aren't aware that cancer actually loves sugar, and yet they're often told, you know, you should really bulk up and drink Ensure and take all of these food products and, oh, give them, you know, it's like killing them with kindness, literally. I mean, give them all of these treats that they want because they're having to suffer. But I think that you could probably give them more of a tough love approach on that. Well, we're not here to talk about that today, are we?
No, we're not. No. We're talking about the transition kitchen.
Yeah. So what I want to do is get the viewer thinking a little more about how unnecessary the presence of the animal is in your food. It's really, it becomes an imposition after a while for me to think about how that was the first thing we thought about when we thought about planning a meal, was what dead animal are we going to prepare for our family, and then what little things are we going to throw on the side. But now, as a chef, you also realize, wow, that really stifles your creativity, as well as stifling your palate. But once you become a mindful eater, I guess that's something we could say, there's really no stopping you anywhere, especially in the kitchen. Because, I mean, you not only feel better, you look better, you perform better, and it really doesn't take that long. I mean, I just can't say that enough. Everybody wants instant results. Well, as soon as I got off the animal, I started to taste things. I started to feel better. I got this tremendous amount of energy. The weight started to come off. It really does happen immediately. So the transition kitchen is really about reintroducing you to the wonderful world of plants. There's a great, big, beautiful world out there, and it's, if I wouldn't get sued, I'd use the world as a carousel of color, wonderful, wonderful color, and, of course, I'd change the words to vegetables and probably have to change the music, too. But anyway, I think that's the old Walt Disney thing.
Okay, you mentioned something about stifling your creativity, and I love that. I know that I've said this before, but every time I've eliminated something from my diet, when I eliminated red meat, when I eliminated chicken, fish, and dairy, every time I got, quote, restrictive, and I don't like using the word or that I have a diet that's restricted, because it's not. It's not limiting. It's not, I don't feel deprived or anything. I discovered that my world of food expanded. Each time I took something away, it opened a door to so many other foods that I wasn't ever considering. So it does stifle your creativity.
Mm-hmm. No, it really does. I mean, and again, you know, we can't handle the truth. That's kind of the theme that keeps running through my head now that the truth is really in front of me everywhere and I'm looking for it, as opposed to, you know, cowering in the corner, not wanting to see it. It's just, we're being pelted over the head with these, you know, these four animals that we keep thinking are, you know, that we have to bring to the table every night. And there's just way, so much more out there. But I guess that's how a society operates. It's really, you know, it's realizing that people are afraid of the truth. And so they keep reinforcing that fear, and I mean, you see it every day, not just with food, but with everything. I mean, and but it starts with food, and that's why I'm so happy we're on It's All About Food, because it really does start everything. I mean, it's a brilliant show. I mean, who thought of the title? It's just unbelievable.
Thanks, Gary. All right, let's get back to the Transition Kitchen, shall we? How is this program structured?
Pardon me? You say structure? What's that?
Come on, Gary.
I'm kidding. Well, you know, on the subject of food again and cooking food, I mean, really, and I guess this is the underlying theme, you know, with the plant-based lifestyle is, you know, the rules are pretty simple. There's no animal in your cooking. There's no animal in your diet, although I hate that word diet, but there's no animal in the diet. And that translates, you know, literally to mean no flesh, which we call meat, and their derivatives, like dairy and eggs, no honey, no ants, spiders, worms, snakes, dogs, cats, nothing that has a mother or a face, or something that comes from those poor little creatures.
Now, if we tune in regularly to the Transition Kitchen, what will we see? Is it just random, or is there a plan?
No, I kid about structure, but it's actually very structured. But, you know, what we try to do is we try to make it look casual and laid back. It's, I guess it's like comedy traffic school, you know? You get them.
Hold on a minute. You just said comedy traffic school, okay? I gotta stop here because if you haven't been to California or lived in California and got a speeding ticket in California, you probably don't know what comedy traffic school is. And I think
it's
worth talking about.
On the East Coast?
Not to my knowledge, although I haven't gotten a ticket in a very long time because I don't have a car. But if you have a moving violation, as they call it in California, you have a choice of paying a big fine, or you can go, I think it's if your first or second offense, you can go to comedy traffic school and have a comedian or, an actor who isn't that famous to,
like me or you, we would actually be in front of comedy traffic school if it were out here.
Right. So you'd sit for a day and listen to some funny guy talk about, motor vehicle rules and regulations. It's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Transition Kitchen's kind of like comedy traffic school in California.
Yeah, I mean, we're giving some very serious information that could be life-saving. I mean, it was for me. And you know, so in reality, like a 12-step program, which is very serious, we kind of do, or I'm structuring it sort of like a 12-step program for getting off the animal. So, you know, if I had one of those horrible commercials running, like a law firm talking to people about, you know, wanting to get their life back or whatever, I would have some horrible voiceover, like, if you're curious about learning more about how not to get sucked into eating the wrong food for you by big corporations, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it would go on and on, like something like that. And the only difference is they'd never say that the program that they were pitching to you was for free, and I think that's the best part of this. And everything we do at Responsible Eating and Living, this is my commercial now, which is impromptu, but I still think it's necessary, is this program is free. And really, it's the best information anyone is going to get at this price. But seriously, folks, it's free, and did I mention it's free?
Like listening to this show, it's free.
Like listening to, it's all about food, which is free. Because what are we? We're a nonprofit, and...
Eating and Living is a nonprofit, and the show is produced by Responsible Eating and Living, and you and I are real, Responsible Eating and Living, and Responsible Eating and Living Real is the truth, and the truth isn't popular.
No, sometimes it's not. Someone said, and I don't know who, and I'm paraphrasing, if you tell people what they want to hear, they'll love you. And again, that's kind of what societies are based on. But if you tell them the truth, they're not going to like you very much. They might even hate you. So, I mean...
Right. Some people will hate you. Not all the people. Some people will respect you.
Yeah. Yes, I believe that. There's a lot of people out there who will find the truth unsettling at first, but they will respect you. But
the truth sets you free!
Yes, I agree. Truth sets you free. And,
Gary,
you know, sometimes the truth can be unsettling. Sometimes the truth might not be somebody else's truth. So, all in all, I think what we're talking about, again, goes back to that thing that we started this conversation with, which was the torturing of animals. There's no denying that that is a truth. I mean, animals are being tortured. And we can gloss it over in any way. We could say, yeah, we want to save the environment and we want to end factory farming. But, you know, you and I talk about this all the time with respect to acting. And Mike Nichols, actually, the late, great Mike Nichols, talked about this in his acting classes, which I've read about. I've never taken an acting class from Mike Nichols, so I don't want to mislead you. But what he talks about is every scene is built on this concept that there's this big, dead whale, smelly whale in the room that no one is looking at, and they're sort of talking over it and around it, and eventually the arc of the piece is that the big, smelly, dead whale is revealed. And it's no different in what you and I are talking about with respect to, getting off the animal. We can't deny, I mean, the conversation goes on, and we none of us recognize, or those of us that refuse to recognize the fact that we're talking about dead animals here that have been tortured, and once we reveal them, then life seems to just be so much easier. And a lot of people say, well, you know, you're being really smug. You know, vegans are so smug. And I disagree. I think people who don't empathize with everything that goes on out there, especially with what the animal is going through, they're being kind of smug, actually very smug, about, you know, refusing to believe that there's an animal being tortured. And,
yeah.
You know, and I came from eating animals. I was raised to eat animals.
You were kind of smug back then.
Yeah, I was very smug and aloof, and I would, you know, I remember you being the first militant vegan I ever met would always try and, you know, be very kind to me and say, you know what, you should really consider it. And I said, well, I don't want to do that. No, I'm never going to do that. And I probably said it just like that, too. I probably sounded exactly like that.
All right, can we talk about the Transition Kitchen? What are you starting with on the program? What are you making?
Oh, okay. So I'm starting with sauces. Our first show actually started with mayo that we then made into our first of the five vegan sauces. I'll call them family sauces as opposed to mother sauces, but, you know, everyone has their mother sauces, every culture. And these are what all transitioning kitcheners, or maybe we'll call them kitchenettes, should have on hand at their fingertips to pour all over vegetables and other plant foods and dip their bread in, et cetera. Because, you know, we've been raised to think it's the animal that's the tasty part of the meal, but in reality, it's the sauce, I think. And that's the premise I'm going with. I'm going with that. And just ask McDonald's, you know, how they sell so many deep-fried flesh nuggets. I mean, it's the five or six sauces that they offer with them. And, you know, and of course they sell it with the breading and the deep brine and the spices and the crispiness, but it's that sauce, you know, which is basically made from salt, sugar, and fat. And that's where it's at. I'm loving it. And so is my cardiologist and my urologist and my archaeologist when he unearths or she unearths my bones billions of years from now and says, this guy had osteoporosis because he never stopped drinking pus from a cow or whatever.
Okay,
anyway,
McDonald's. You mentioned McDonald's. I just have to bring up, did you read in the news recently, McDonald's sales are not going too well. They just let go their CEO and CFO, and they're trying to reinvigorate and reinvent whatever they're about. And I'm saying get off the animal, okay, McDonald's? You got a lot of real estate. Just go plant-based, start all over again. It'll be a beautiful thing.
Why don't they just replace all McDonald's with the veggie grills or the company in
Native Foods.
Native Foods.
Yeah, or herbivores, or there's a lot of wonderful.
Or candle cafes. Candle cafe on every corner.
Oh, would that be heaven?
That would be awesome.
All right, anyway, what are the five family sauces of your Transition Kitchen?
Okay, so they're based on the classic French mother sauces. Everyone who's a foodie out there, and there's a lot of foodies out there by now, has probably seen that film 100 Foot Journey, I think it's called, with Helen Mirren and... actually, I'm assuming you've seen it, but it's not. It's about a young man who wants to be a great Michelin-starred chef, and he's told that he must first learn to make the five mother sauces of the French cuisine, hollandaise, bechamel, velouté, espagnol, and tomato.
Tomat.
So each of the sauces that we're starting with would be considered a mother sauce, or, you know, we can call them father sauce or family sauce or whatever. And then from each mother, father, family sauce, other sauces, many, many other sauces can be made. For example, on our last episode, which is up on the site now, for free, did I mention for free? It's for free. We made a quick hollandaise with our vegan mayo.
And it was so good, I got to eat it with the no eggs Benedict Arnold for Valentine's Day. Actually, I had it before Valentine's Day, but it was really delicious.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. So did I. That's good. It's very good, and it's made without a roux, which is kind of the traditional way you make hollandaise. You make it with egg, and so you make a quick
What's
mayo.
What's a roux,
first.
Mr. Chef? What's a roux, and how do you spell roux?
A roux is it's R-U-X, R-O-U-X.
R-O-U-X, right.
Right, and it's just essentially you put some fat at the bottom of a saucepan, and then you put a little flour and mix it in with that fat, and you cook that fat, and then you add a hot, scalding hot liquid to it, and it thickens that fat. So we're not making it with the roux. We're doing it more of the classic way where we whisk in a little fat, which is an Earth Balance, which is a plant-based butter. And anyway, so, and then once you get that, and you could put it on the Eggs Benedict Arnold that we made, or you could smother it on broccoli or asparagus, artichokes. I mean, and it's delicious, and it's good as a cold veggie dip, and it's satisfying. And it's a good fat, no animal cholesterol. And so our next episode, we're going to make two more of the mother sauces. We're going to make a bechamel, which is also a white sauce. And we're going to make, and it's normally made with milk, we're going to use cashew cream. And then there is a tomato sauce. So I guess the tomato sauce would be the best example of a mother sauce. When people think of tomato sauce, they might think of a red sauce that you would put on pasta, like a marinara or a bolognese. But what the mother sauce is with respect to tomato is it's a sauce that we make from fresh tomatoes. We sauce fresh tomatoes that we then flavor in a variety of different ways, like we'll make a marinara out of it or an enchilada sauce or a barbecue sauce. So anyway, that's basically what we're talking about. We're talking about mother sauces, family sauces, whatever. And then our next show is going to be doing that. And then what we do on every show is that we use these sauces in a dish. We assemble a dish. And so through that 7 or 8 minute show, you really do learn a lot about not just the sauces, but how to then introduce these new plant-based items into your life that maybe you hadn't thought about replacing the animal with. And so it just helps you get off the animal.
That's great. So what happens after 12 weeks or this 12-step program?
Well, then the viewer will decide if they like this lifestyle without eating animals or not. And maybe they'll take some of it away with them. And I mean, I'm not going to insult people's intelligence with the show by assuming they don't know how to cook. I'm assuming they do know their way around the kitchen. So the show is clearly not a how-to-cook show. This is for people who actually know how to cook, who maybe been cooking animals their whole life like I was, and maybe are curious now because they're thinking, well, why is everybody talking about this vegan thing? And now I saw Bob the other day, and gosh, he was 300 pounds, and now he's like 140, and he looks great. And, you know, I mean, he looks fabulous. He looks so young. I mean, and he says it's just because he went vegan. Well, it's for people who do cook or like to cook occasionally. Maybe they like to throw a party. Maybe they want to throw a theme party. Maybe they're going to throw a plant-based theme party. And so they'll take some of that away with them. Or maybe they're going to be hooked. And then they can start, you know, start doing this for life.
What's after the sauces?
Soups. We're going to do actually we're going to talk about basic stocks on the episode after this next episode. We're going to talk about the white stock, and we're going to talk about the brown stock, which is the base for a lot of soups and a lot of other sauces like the velouté, the espagnol. And then we're going to talk about some of the appetizers that are phenomenal out there that you probably think you can't have anymore, just like you probably thought you couldn't have, you know, no Eggs Benedict Arnold or Eggs Benedict, and I think ours is actually better. We're going to talk about some of the veggie meats that we use, not the processed meats that are out there that you can buy, which we talk about on your show a lot, but we talk about tofu, tempeh, seitan, mushrooms, and things you can make with beans, legumes that are meat-like. And then we'll do another 12 weeks or more. The show is vertically integrated in so much as we give a lecture lab. I mean, the whole show, the Real Good News and Review, is kind of structured as a lecture lab situation. You give the lecture, I do the lab, and then we go visit a business that's in line with our mission.
Right. Well, I can't believe it, but Gary, we've come to the end of the half hour, and I can talk to you all day. Oh, I do.
Yeah, you do. Wow, that was fast. That was fun. Thanks. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, so thanks for joining me on It's All About Food, and I'll see you real soon in the Transition Kitchen.
Okay, thanks. Tune in. Bye.
Okay, bye, Gary DiMattei.
Bye-bye, Karen Harkless.
Hey, that was fun. Wasn't that fun? I thought it was fun. So let's take a little break because we got to get to some serious test love here in the next part of the program. Meanwhile, visit responsibleeatingandliving.com. Go check out our webisodes. Well, maybe not right now, but very soon. And if you have any comments and questions, you can reach me at info@realmeals.org. Right now, we're going to take a break. Bye.